Do you see this woman? This question comes halfway through our gospel passage today, and I believe it is the hinge, not only for the story as it is told, but for our own understanding of what is being revealed as well. Do you see this woman? Is the question Jesus asked Simon the Pharisee only after joining him for a banquet at his house. Only after a woman entered the house, wept on his feet, dried them with her hair, and anointed them with ointment from an alabaster jar. Only after he knew what Simon was thinking as he witnessed that act. Only after he told him a story about two debtors being forgiven their debts and the amount of forgiveness, amount of love that that forgiveness engendered. Only after asking Simon, now which of them will love him more? Do you see this woman? Is the question Jesus asked right before, pointing out that Simon had neglected to offer him gestures of hospitality. Just before telling Simon that this woman's sins have been forgiven and that her response was to show him great love. Just before he sent the woman away in peace. And just before he left to continue his ministry alongside many women, both those whom he had healed and those who were called to follow him and those who provided for him out of their resources. Do you see this woman? This is our question too, because whether we like it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, many of us are actually Simon in this story. Not all of us. Some of us know our sins only too well, whether or not they are infamous sins. And yet, because we have repented and because we have accepted God's grace and forgiveness, we are filled with a love that pours out of us and bathes and anoints those all around us. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Only don't go too far away, because the rest of us need to learn from you. Because many of us are more like Simon. We know that in this world, we are all sinners. But there are sinners, and then there are sinners. And we are merely sinners. But we know sinners when we see them. And we aren't afraid to judge them, even if it's only with snarky comments in our own minds. And so we share a fancy meal with those around us. We do follow the rules, and we go to church. We're kind, and we do good works because we know that we should, and because that's how we've been taught. It's not that we're bad people. It's that we don't really see the people around us or ourselves. We don't really see other people because we make surface judgments about them. We allow society to tell us what to believe about them. We let our own prejudices get in the way. And we don't really see ourselves, because while we know that we are all sinners, our sins aren't that big, and we don't really need to face up to our sins. We don't really need to seek forgiveness. And because of this, as Jesus himself said, the one whom little is forgiven loves little. Do you see this woman? It is time for us to learn to see in new ways, both the world around us and ourselves. I think in order for us to do this, we need to be intentional in how we see, focusing our vision in two complementary but distinct ways. First, in order to really see others for who they are, we need to look them in the eye. When we do this, they are no longer the guy on the corner bumming for change, or the gal who hands me the Starbucks in the morning, or no longer even this woman. Because when you look someone in the eye, they are no longer an other, a sinner, but simply a child of God, just as you are. Simplistic, yes, but that doesn't mean it isn't true. And while looking someone in the eye is not nearly as dramatic or expressive as washing their feet with your tears, it conveys the same message. They are seen and they are loved. Along with looking people in the eye, we also need to use our peripheral vision. Because like Simon, we too can get tunnel vision, missing what and who are on the edges of our lives. The anthropologist Mary Catherine Bateson speaks of peripheral vision as often the most astute way to see. And I quote, "It finds what we're actually looking for, or just as often, what we're actually looking at finds us in unexpected quarters." Peripheral vision includes what we tend to exclude and looks to the boundaries of what we are accustomed to seeing. It takes in what is neglected outside the field of ordinary vision. I think that it is only with a combination of both looking people in the eye and seeing the world that is in our periphery that we not only change the way we really see the world around us, but we are able to change the way we see ourselves as well. What is it that holds us back from clearly seeing ourselves? Is it fear of what we'll really see? Is it complacency or simple inertia? Because if what we see needs to change, then, well, we would have to actually change. Is it because what others have told us, or what we've told ourselves about ourselves, have clouded the reality that is in front of us? For so many reasons, seeing ourselves can be so much harder than seeing others. Jesus knew this, and so it was that he used the example of the woman asking Simon to see her so that he could in turn see himself. He could see her willingness to open herself up fully to Jesus, repenting and turning over her sinfulness, filled her with God's grace and love to the point that that love spilled out of her, overflowing social boundaries and washing away the barriers that we humans try to build to set ourselves over one another. And I think that he could see himself, so concerned with playing his part that he allowed himself to become numb, to become blind to the reality and the need of the world around him, and the need within himself to be in a deeper relationship with God, the kind of relationship that is based on a love that would transform who he was and how he encountered the world. This is what this story asks us to see, and in particular, Luke's version of this story, because this account can be found in all four of our Gospels in various forms. But two things make Luke's narrative, our story today, stand out. While in the other three Gospels, this story occurs during the Passion narrative, and the anointing represents a foreshadowing of the anointing of Jesus' body for burial, in Luke, it happens at the beginning of his Galilean ministry. And while in the other Gospels, the objection to the actions of the woman were that she wasted this expensive ointment, in Luke, the objection was to the sinner approaching and touching Jesus and his acceptance of her actions. What this story asks us to see, I believe, is that God offers all of us, sinners and sinners, extravagant love and forgiveness, because we do all need it. Jesus began his ministry this way, and the invitation to repent and accept love and forgiveness extends to us here now. This is the twist that only Luke offers us, an intentional narrative change, but one that invites us into the story and offers us a transforming vision. And when we do grab hold of that, we must in turn offer that love back to God and to the world around us. Because the way that we will look at things and at people will have changed. We will see the world differently. We will see people around us differently. We will love differently. For it is only when we truly see this woman that we can ask ourselves, where will I pour out my love? Instead of being like Simon, too busy keeping track of whom to withhold it from, to pour it out at all. Amen.